Morning. Our scripture reading for today is found on James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. Again, this is at James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by faith, by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Yes, you see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deed is dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once more we are so thankful for the privilege that you gave us to be here, to gather together to worship you. Thank you for your words that were read before us. Thank you for giving us the faith. And we are praying that through your guidance, we will be able to show this faith in action. As we hear your word today, Lord, open our hearts and our minds and help us to listen to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I've heard people say, "Don't get me wrong, Pastor. I believe in God. I believe there is God." And then when I start talking to them about God, they say, "Well, I don't really know where God is and what he does and how he can help me, and yet I believe there is God." Well, there are a lot of people who believe in things, and they take it for granted that because they believe in things, things will be going okay. For example, in Canada, the rivers freeze during the winter months, and when the rivers freeze, you can't even drive your car over that river, frozen river on the ice, and just cross that river. And yet, people have been drowning because they will not stop and look and see whether the river is really frozen enough for them to be able to drive over that river, and they drown. Or people who say, "Well, I'm not feeling too good, and I have a doctor here. I got to be careful how I put it." And people say, "I'm not feeling well. Well, I better take a couple of Tylenol." Now, you may take as many Tylenols as you want, but if your blood pressure is high, or if there's something else, your faith in Tylenol is not going to help. The only thing that is going to help is the right medication, the right dosage, and for the right problem you have. We often hear statements like, "We are saved by faith," in the Christian community. In Ephesians 2:8, we read, "You have been saved through faith, And in Romans 5:1, Apostle Paul says, we have been justified through faith. As a matter of fact, the Bible is very clear that no one can be saved by good works. And that is so true, and people have misunderstood that. And you have Christian denominations that base their salvation, or they count on their works for their salvation. Where I come from, Greece, when you ask someone, are you going to heaven, or do you have the assurance of your salvation? They will say, well, I hope so. God is at the end, on judgment day, is going to take my good works, put them on one side of the scale, and he's going to take my bad works and put them on the other side of the scale, and depending on which tilts or which is heavier, then I'll be judged. There are other groups, other religions who believe that. And yet the Bible is very clear that there is not enough money. There aren't enough good works. There isn't anyone on earth in creation that could pay enough to buy his or her salvation. All our good works are like filthy rags, the Bible says. So it is very clear that we are saved by faith, his grace. Number two, no one can be saved by keeping the law. The law was given to the Jewish nation, to the Jewish people. And yet the Bible is very clear that no one was able to be saved through the law, by the law. No matter how good someone is, no matter how many times he or she goes to church, that will not save. It's like taking something or your bicycle and put it in the garage, or walking into a garage and hoping to become a car. Just because you're in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. Just because someone comes to church or goes to church, it doesn't make that person a Christian. Number three, no one can be saved without faith in Christ. Now, this is the biggest problem the world has. Because people will say, oh, you are so narrow-minded. You think that only Christ can save. You are so narrow-minded. And yet, Jesus is the Son of God. God himself, who came in the person of Jesus, or manifested himself to save the world. He was not Armenian. He was not Greek or even Jewish. Yes, he was born to a Jewish mother, but not from the sperm of a man. And so only he can pay the price. Only he can be the door through which we can go into eternal life. No matter what people or religions may claim or say, salvation is not obtained by works or religious acts or affiliations. Salvation is through and by faith in Jesus Christ and his grace, gift of forgiveness. Why then, James says, that faith without deeds is dead? Faith without deeds is dead, James said. This statement may seem to be a contradiction to what Apostle Paul has said about faith, but actually what James is saying and what Paul is saying are in full agreement. What is then this faith, James says, that does not save? When you speak to people about their faith or religion, usually their understanding of faith, their faith or belief is about a set of rules, values, religious doctrines, or system in general. When people come sometimes to our workplace where my wife and I are, and we start talking about faith, God, they may be Christians, Jews, or Muslims, or whatever other, or atheists, the conversation will always go to religion. Oh, I don't believe in religion, or my religion is good. And the truth of the matter is, religions are man-made organizations or groups or philosophies or doctrines. And yet, what I am or who I am is not what people think that I am. They say, oh, you are a religious fanatic or a religious person. I tell them, no, actually, God hates religion in general. But God loves us. Jesus died on the cross for the Jews, for the Greeks, for the Armenians, for every human being on this earth, regardless of what some people may say or believe. God will not discard His creatures, His creation, without first offering them a way out of eternal death. The most important question is not whether we believe in Jesus and the gospel He preached, but rather, do we want to follow Him and get involved with Him or not? There are over 2 billion people who claim to be Christians. A Christian, the word Christian describes someone who follows Christ. And yet, out of the 2+ billion people, I don't believe that every one of them or most of them follow Christ. So, that kind of faith does not save, the Bible says. To say that I'm a Christian, to say that on my passport says I'm a Christian, to say that I belong to this church or that church, is unless that means, that reflects the inner change that has taken place, does not save. The question once again is, what is the faith that does not save? First, faith that is only profession does not save. Let's look at the verses 14 to 17, or at least the statement in those verses. If a man claims to have faith but has no deeds, works, you can claim anything you want. You can claim to be the king of whatever. That does not make you a king unless you reflect, unless you are really the king. Professing or claiming faith in God without evidence or of salvation does not save anyone. This kind of professing and claiming does not, will not, cannot, and will not show any fruit of faith and salvation. Now, the only reason I believe that Jesus called it a new birth, being born again, is because the old person dies. The sinful nature dies. A brand new person appears. This is metamorphosis, the Greek word. It's metamorphosized. It's transformed. And anyone who claims to be a Christian, he can claim to be a Christian. He can claim, or he may say, I'm a deacon, I'm an elder, I'm a pastor, I'm a reverend, I'm the bishop, I'm whatever. It does not make that person a Christian unless there is a fundamental change. And I know some believe that if you word it, if it's in your mantra to be a Christian, you are, and if you were born a Christian, you are. But the Bible and Jesus are very clear. When this religious man came to Jesus to ask Him a question, and his desire was to go to heaven, he believed in God, he practiced his faith, he was very faithful to the law. And yet when Nicodemus came to Jesus, Jesus said, Nicodemus, everything is going well with you, and yet you must be born again. Must be born again has been misunderstood. Some people think coming to the front or putting up your hand at a crusade, and I've been in a couple of crusades as an organizer, and I know that when the altar call was given, there would be 400, 500 people come to the front, And yet when we tried to follow up or reach them, they had changed their mind. Just because they came to the front, it doesn't mean they are born again believers. It does not mean they are transformed people. It does not mean they have become Christian. Just by baptizing a little baby, you don't make that little baby a Christian. A Christian is someone who follows Christ. Follows Christ. Apostle Paul agrees with James. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that Christ makes us different. Therefore, and I quote, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." If there is no new person in this body, if this body is exactly the same he was, the flesh will be, but the soul, the spirit, has to change, has to be transformed, or else claiming to be a Christian means nothing, does not save. Salvation makes all things and ways to pass away. All things become new to those who are born again. And you may say, well, you are preaching to the choir. I know you are born again believer. You say you are born again believer, but we must really understand what kind of faith we have. And when we share to others, you may be able to share this news, the good news, to people who think they are Christian, but and yet they have not invited Christ to be their Lord and Savior. Coming to Temple Baptist Church does not make you a Christian. Becoming a member of this church by saying the right things does not make you a Christian. By being baptized, by repeating the same words that everyone else repeats does not make you a Christian. But what makes you a Christian is to confess your sin to God. Invite Him in your life, and He takes over your life. And you know what? The old Joseph still there. Yeah, the flesh desires some things that tuned. Yes, the mind has problems with some things. Yes, the eyes have problems with what he or she sees. Yes, but on the other hand, we have someone who is greater than our desires, someone that is greater than the world, someone that is greater than the one who is in the world, Holy Spirit, God Himself, helping us deal with these things. Number two, first I said, faith that is only profession does not save. Second, faith that does not bring spiritual life does not save. And I quote, "Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." This is James, the brother of Jesus, our Lord. And he must know something. He spent 33 years, I don't know, maybe less, maybe a few years less, because Jesus was the firstborn to Mary. And yet, I'm sure James had heard Jesus say things that maybe others had not heard. Faith without works, deeds, is counterfeit, fake, dead. This sounds so terrible. I don't think I can make too many friends. I don't think we can fill our church by saying that unless you follow Christ, you are phony. But the truth of the matter is that unless Christ is your Lord, unless you have surrendered your will to Him, you are only a claimer, not a proclaimer. This kind of faith is not saving faith. It is some religious act or experience called faith. Faith in Christ always brings new life. There are no exceptions. Jesus never turns away anyone. He said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." And this is again a problem that some groups may have, some Christians may have. Some Christians may feel that I'm so bad, I'm so sinful, I have nothing good in me. How can Christ invite me to come in? Or others may say, well, if it was written for you to be, you will be. And if it wasn't, but it is written that God so loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son, for whosoever, paso pistevon, means anyone who believes, be saved. God invites all to come to Him. In Romans 10:13 we read, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't say every Jew who calls upon the name of the Lord. It does not say every Greek. It does not say every English. It does not say every French or Chinese or Korean or Vietnamese. It says every human being. That's what the Bible says. I'm not saying it. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Number three, faith that is just intellectual agreement, belief, does not save. Believing the facts is not necessarily faith. Millions say they believe in God. The Bible says that demons also believe that there is one God. Not only they believe, in fact, they know it for sure, and they think about it. If the devil comes to someone and says, there is no God, you'll say, oh yeah, there is God. But the devil comes and says, yeah, there is a God. Yes, He is a just God, but because He loves every human being, and don't worry about it. Well, you know what? This is the devil speaking, but sounds like a preacher. The devil, when he comes to tempt you, he's going to sound like an evangelist. When the devil comes to tempt you and to discourage you, he'll come like an angel of light. So just because he looks like an angel, sounds like a pastor, and sounds like an evangelist, it doesn't mean he is bringing you the truth. The truth is in here. If it's not from here, if you bring it in here and does not, you don't find the right spot to fit it in, then it's not from here. Apostle Paul says, if anyone comes with a different gospel, even if angels come from heaven with a different gospel, don't accept it. Their acceptance of the fact does not help them. Just because someone says, I believe in God, that's not going to help. Just because someone says, I believe Jesus had the right message, it doesn't help. Just because you believe that this particular medication is the greatest medication, but unless you take it, it doesn't help. And unless you take God's promises personally, those promises will not help. As a person can agree with the facts of the Bible, and a person can agree with the facts of the Bible and yet be lost, intellectual acceptance is not really faith. It is like another gospel. Intellectually, what someone said, the distance between heaven and hell is 12 inches. Between your brain and your heart, if you are a tall enough person, I suppose, because you may believe in your brain, in your mind, and yet if it does not go to the heart, I won't save you. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, we read, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. I've seen these days so many people who are running after all kinds of cults, people who are listening to all kinds of tapes and reading all kinds of books because they feel empty, even though they are members of a church. I've even met pastors who feel empty and lonely because all those messages that they preached to others did not sink in their heart, and they didn't surrender their lives to the Lord. Apostle Paul warns the believers that some will try to confuse them with strange theologies and gospel. Verse 7 in Galatians chapter 1 continues, "The gospel is really no gospel at all." Evidently, their gospel. Some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to prevent the gospel of Christ. The gospel that sometimes people will bring to you, it's not really the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's someone else's thoughts and philosophy. The person who puts his or her faith in Christ as Savior has living faith. It is not just a profession or mere claim. It is not a counterfeit faith. This is biblical faith, saving faith. Yes, we are saved by grace. Yes, I cannot buy my salvation. Yes, I cannot pay for my salvation. Yes, it is the free gift of Jesus Christ, the blood that he was poured on the cross. And yet, you cannot claim to be born again believer. You cannot claim to be a Christian. You cannot claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ and live like the rest of the world and like the rest of your past life. There must be changes. When the master one day was going through the garden with a gardener, said to him, "You know this tree here? It has been here for so many years and no fruit. Cut it down." And the gardener said, "Lord, give me another year. Give me another chance, and I will take good care of that tree. And if next year doesn't give any fruit, then we cut it down." What Jesus meant by that was a Christian, any Christian, should reflect the new change. And I believe today there are millions of Christians who claim to be Christians, and yet you meet them in the marketplace, you meet them at the doctor's office, you meet them in the church, you meet them anywhere, and you start evangelizing them because you think they're not Christians. I mean, the way they look, the way they talk, the way they act, you think they're not Christians. And then when you start sharing, they're like, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian. Oh, you could have fooled me." Does claiming to be a Christian make you a Christian? Or is the change and the transformation that is reflected now in the way you talk and the way you are? You may think it is difficult or impossible to have such faith. You may even think that under the circumstances you find yourself in, you cannot do it. But all you need to do is trust Jesus with the faith of a child. God did his part to reach you. He wants you to have peace and eternal life when you do your part and trust him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for being so patient and compassionate. Thank you for waiting for each one of us. And yet, Lord, there will come a moment, there will come a time that will be too late. So we ask you this morning, Lord, to strengthen our faith. Just help us to be revived and fill our hearts with your joy, the joy of our salvation. May we reflect that change. May we live a life that will say that we are different, that we belong to God, that we have the assurance of our future in eternity. We need your help and your guidance. In your blessed name, I pray. Amen.